Worship team, appreciate you. Thank you, tech team. Thank you, children's ministry as well, for being able to. And goodbye, everyone. Goodbye. Not yet. We're not doing the movie yet. Hallelujah. It's coming. Hallelujah. Woo, and we're back. Glad that you're here this morning. Hallelujah. Hope you enjoyed that five-second rest. Hey, I'm going to introduce our speaker, and then she's going to come up when we watch this video here in a moment. But who am I? I'm Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm not preaching today because who wants to hear me on Mother's Day? I don't even want to hear myself. Hallelujah. What do I have any business speaking about mothers? Never been one, never will be. But I'm just thankful. Yeah, that's not how God made me, and I don't care what the world says. That's not how it works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's true. That's another sermon. Just open your Bibles to Genesis. Read it in there. Turn off CNN and open your Bibles to Genesis. Hallelujah. Praise God. Happy Mother's Day to you, mamas. Can I get a hey, man? That was for the mothers only. That's weird, dudes. I don't know why you did that. Hallelujah. Happy Mother's Day. But Miss Jan Matthews is going to be preaching this morning. So thankful for that. She actually came from this church, First Open Bible here in Cedar Rapids. She served here for several years, and she married Steve Matthews, who took her away from us. I mean, he goes, yeah! That's cool. Yeah, I get it. He was a pastor in Loves Park, Illinois, and they got married in 2013. She's currently, or they're both currently living in Des Moines area where Steve grew up. She serves on the board at Journey Church in Urbandale. She officiates funerals for Idol's Funeral Home in Des Moines area. She worked at a hospice educator here at Cedar Rapids for many years. She's excellent. If you are having to do a funeral, if something's going on, you want to ask her opinion. She has done plenty, and she's excellent. She also helped with Grief Share. She was a facilitator for many years. Jan is licensed. She's a licensed minister with First Open Bible. And what's awesome right now, she walks alongside her and her husband, step families. They've been doing that for 9 years, and then Jan and Steve took a step of faith last year and became on staff with Family Life, which is a division of Campus Crusade for Christ. They spend their time encouraging step couples' marriages and families and providing tools and encouragement. Here's their vision. It is to build and move the future generations of blended families, bringing help and hope. Man, we need that. Even in churches, I think 40 to 50% of churches, families, I could be wrong, but you'll probably have that, yeah, are actually blended families. So what a needed, important, incredible ministry. Their passion is to prevent re-divorce and build godly homes and families who glorify Jesus and change the world. Miss Jan is going to come up, and while she comes up, let's watch this awesome Mother's Day video.
All the truth in that video. Thank you, Pastor Harris, for that introduction. Thanks for having me here today. I remembered something as we were standing there worshiping. John Helmuth. Yes, I was in this church for many years. I left in 2013. And I was single for 12 years. And I was really, really content being single. I'm just saying. Steve just said, not really. Okay. But most people who knew me knew that my dream was not to get remarried. I had been through a really painful marriage, addictions and death and all of it. And I just would say, Lord, I do it for you. And I remember one night, Aaron Bentley and I were sitting way back there, and John, you were speaking, and John was prophesying, and he looked at me and he said, I see a man in your future. You're not gonna remember this, but I remember it as clear as day. Aaron and I looked at each other like, what is he even talking about? Not going to happen. And yeah, that was a word from God. I see so many familiar faces, and I see so many new faces. The kids, they're grown up. I have to tell you, a couple years ago, I was at a wedding, and I saw Paisley and Michaela, and they were like, you know, the little girls, and I thought, so sad, they're not even gonna know who I am. And so I said something to them. Do you girls remember me? And they said, you're the candy lady. You're the one that always came in the church and gave us all candy. So I'll take that. I'll take it. I've always loved the kids. I was in the sound booth, and I saw Matthew up there, and I asked him who he was, and he said, Matthew. I'm like, Matt, oh my goodness, that's Matthew. Wow, you've all grown up. I love this church. I love your pastors. They're so anointed and so appointed by God to be here. I love them. It is my honor to even be invited here. It's my second time speaking on Mother's Day. I was here 2 years ago, and none of you were. Nobody came, Pastor. Nobody came. Talk to the camera up there. So now I get another chance, and I get to see your faces. But even back then, when Pastor asked me to speak that year, Steve looked at me and he said, do they know how you feel about Mother's Day? Because this day has always been really hard for me, because I'm not a mom. I love honoring my mother-in-law. I love honoring moms. A shout out to my mother-in-law today. But I'm really not a mom. So 9 years ago, I had gotten credentialed here, so I was able to go to the regional pastor's retreat in Branson, and I met Pastor Steve Matthews, that really handsome guy right down there. And we got married. Steve has 4 adult kids. The youngest was 19 when we got married. We didn't know how to navigate this. We thought we did. Sometimes we get blindsided, don't we? And it's interesting, our wedding was right here in this church. It was a joyous, wonderful day. And all the kids stood in that front row, and they were so gracious and really trying to be happy for us. But we didn't know till later that that was a day of loss for them. Steve had been so close for them to them for so many years. That was a loss for them, and we didn't get it. So I came into the picture feeling a little bit like an outsider. I mean, it just is what it is, right? We didn't know that that was normal. We just didn't know. We didn't know what we didn't know. The first Christmas, they had all these great traditions and excitement, and I didn't know what to expect. I wasn't really part of that. It was really hard. And eventually we came across, well, of course we found out that this was normal. And so now in our ministry, we meet with all these couples, and so many people are shocked that this is normal because they didn't know. So the Smart Step Family curriculum that we found changed our lives. It's an 8-week series we've been facilitating for 9 years, like Pastor said. Blending a family takes time, and it is not always easy. We went from a step family to a now blended family, I'm happy to say. Kind of like moving from being strangers to being family, and now we help others. But I'm not a mom. I know quite a few stepmoms who do dread this day, especially those of us who did not have children of our own. And I have a lot of friends who grew up in step families who have a little anxiety on this day, trying to figure out how to honor all their moms and not disappoint someone. Think about the kids that are younger and going back and forth between families. How do they navigate that? It's hard. It's really hard. And like Pastor said, about 40% of us are some part of a step family. Maybe that's part of why I'm here. Families like us, we're surrounded by them. There are exes, there are grandparents, there are step siblings, and then there are weddings and graduations and birthdays and holidays. And I can probably assume that every person in this room has been affected or touched by this at some point in time. And that explains a little bit of why this day has always been hard for me. But honestly, even before I was a stepmom, this day was hard. I love to honor moms, but boy, is it easy to feel less than on this day. It's just so easy to feel less than. And there's somebody in this room that probably knows exactly what I'm talking about. Ladies, for many of us, as Pastor Mark shared, for many of us, this is a painful day. We've lost our mom, or we're not a mom. We didn't have a good relationship with our mom. Lost a child, stepmoms. You know, we're all in various seasons of life, aren't we? And every season does come to a close and a new season begins. And the older I get, the more I understand that, because wherever you are right now, it is not forever. No matter how good or how hard it is, you're gonna move into a new season. And just like our family, we grow, we change, we learn. The theme of my message today is a very simple one. It's to be well. I don't just mean be physically well. I mean physically, mentally, spiritually, body, mind, and spirit. If I were to ask you right now, ladies especially, in the current chapter of your life that you are in, I wonder what most of you would say how you're doing. Would you say, I'm so busy, I'm so stressed, I have no time for myself, my life feels out of control, too many people need my attention, or I have on a good face, but compared to other women, I am so inadequate. Does that resonate with anybody? You know what? Maybe we need to see what God sees, a hope, a future, dreams. How many of us are carrying around resentments or bitterness like a security blanket? That was me for a long time. Or we're trying to control everybody and everything around us. Or we're walking as a victim through life. We are not victims, you guys. We are not victims. We are victorious in Christ. We are not victims. Some of us anesthetize ourselves. We numb ourselves, whether it's with food, whether it's with being really busy, just so we don't feel anything. We just keep on going. For me, it's peanut butter. Ask my husband. Peanut butter disappears at our house. But some of us just have a chip on our shoulder. And may I say to you that none of those things are from God. That is not His will for us. And it's certainly not His best for us. We can so easily miss the present moments that we are in, so easily. And if I could speak to my younger self, I can say this because I'm older now. If I could speak to my younger self, I would say the words that my mother said to me so many times later in her life, don't wish your life away. Don't wish your life away. Time is short. And now I get it. I don't want to miss the moments because I'm stressed or bitter or trying not to feel. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss a season. So we're talking today about being well so that we can be God's best. There are three areas of health that are so vital. Our spiritual health, of course. Our physical health, as healthy as we can be. And our mental health. When we are well in body, mind, and spirit, you know what? We're fruitful. We are fruitful. We bear fruit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Think of this as a three-legged stool. Physical, mental, and spiritual. Almost forgot spiritual. Spiritual, how's our walk with the Lord? How's our relationship with Him? Physical, are we taking care of our bodies as best we can? Mental, is our mind working for us or against us? We are stewards of all three of those. And a three-legged stool, if one of those is weak, you know, the other two can sort of carry you. If two or three are weak, we're defeated, right? If you're mentally weak, but you're spiritually and physically strong, that'll help you handle it and manage it. If you're physically weak, but you're strong spiritually and mentally, it'll help you cope and improve. If you're spiritually weak, physically and mentally, my husband knows. When I get to that place, I know what to do. Go for a walk, listen to worship, whatever it means, I know what to do. I can choose to do it, or I can choose to be defeated. But if more than one of those legs starts getting shaky, I'm getting shaky. I'm talking about this today because my life experiences have taught me some things about being God's best for His glory. These things are important enough to me that I want to try to impart them to you. I have always been a striver. Try to do it all on my own. And even after I knew the Lord, strive, strive. I can do this. You know how stressful it is to be striving all the time? Some of you know. You try harder and harder, thinking somehow that's going to bring peace, right? I spent many of my younger years in a state of continual stress, and I paid a price. Stress affects all three legs of that stool. Did you know that? Spiritual, physical, mental. And some of you guys are living it like I lived it. I recently read this about stress. Staying in a state of chronic stress can result in anxiety, depression, digestive issues, trouble sleeping, weight gain, a weakened immune response, and even heart problems. As you get stressed, you not only begin to feel mentally poor, your physical health also takes a hit, largely because you elicit physiological responses that you can't maintain in a healthy way for very long. Bitterness, unforgiveness. Yeah, those are hard topics, aren't they? But they'll destroy us. They really will. Bitterness, unforgiveness compromises our physical health. Research has shown that unforgiveness is connected to high blood pressure, weakened immune system, reduced sleep, chronic pain, cardiovascular, a lot. It affects every area. I'm going to be honest and tell you that the hardest, I had to go through a lot of forgiveness back many years ago, but the hardest one was forgiving me. Many years ago, after I had lived for a lot of years in a really unholy, unhealthy life with a lot of, I won't say self-hatred, but it was pretty close. And I remember going to a Holy Week service, and something about forgiveness just really resonated with me. And for someone who had gone through so much, literally looking at myself in the mirror and saying, you are so ugly and disgusting and nobody loves you and I hate you. I mean, saying those things to myself. Moms, can you imagine your young girls saying that to themselves? Somebody in this room may be saying that to yourself right now. So listen. But I went home and I looked in my bathroom mirror. I looked at myself in the eye and I said, Jan, I'm so sorry for how I've treated you all these years. And I forgave Jan. And I received God's forgiveness that night. And it changed my life. I know forgiveness is hard, but how long and how much are we willing to pay, right? We can't be our best when we're carrying that burden. Who's it hurting? Us. How many of us want to just set ourselves free today? Do we want to be well? Do we want to be well? There's a story in John chapter 5 that talks about a man who had been sick for 38 years. Jesus knew this. He knew he had been sick for 38 years. And you know what Jesus said to him? Do you want to be well? Well, of course he wanted to be well. Why did he ask him that? Well, this is my speculation, but I wonder if that man's identity was being ill. Was he ready to forsake that identity to be healed? It would mean letting go of it. It would mean taking responsibility and being willing to move into the unfamiliar. Because isn't that what that is when we are healed? So what's the opposite of striving, stress, unforgiveness? Surrender. Your theme this month, throwing up our hands and saying, it is all too big for me. It's too big for me, God. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. You just take it. What is God asking you to surrender? Do we want to be well? What you do now, I'm saying this as a little bit older than some of you in here, although I love that I see some people older like me here too. Anyway, I'm older now. Okay, when you guys knew me, I've been gone almost 9 or 10 years, so haven't I gotten younger since then? Yeah, come on, thank you. But learning to be well now, right where you are. I'm in a season right now when each of those legs feels pretty strong. For today, okay? For right now. For most of my life, one of the reasons I didn't like myself so much is because I was always in a weight battle. You know, the scale would determine my worth for the day. Honestly, that was my life for so many years. Because I fought that for so many years, I started exercising and working out many decades ago to manage my weight. You know what? That has given me health in my 60s because I did that. So maybe I need to be thankful for the battle. Well, I'm not quite there yet, but that has given me health in my 60s. And the pain of my messed up past has given me spiritual wealth. And mental clarity has given me the ability to hear God's voice and to follow it. I want to pass on a little bit of wisdom, what little I might know, and a little reflection to you today. I'm going to ask you to do a wellness check today, an inventory, kind of like a physical. If you've ever worked in a warehouse and they do inventory, it's not a judgment inventory. You don't say, I have 25 evil pencils, right? There's no judgment. It's just, where are we right now? If you get a physical and you have blood work, you get your blood work back, where are we? What do I need to make better to be healthier? It's a wellness check, and we should do it often. Because you know what? We cannot shine a light that is flickering to this dark world. The world needs our light. I'm going to read 18 verses of Psalm 139, and I want you to just hear these verses. O Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down. You know when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. Lord, would you sometimes stop me from saying it once in a while? You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to even understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. If I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. How amazing is our God. He's got us, right? He made us. We belong to him. He is with us. He is for us. I have so often run into people that I have felt a need to say, do you know that God is for you? He is for you. Some people really need to know that. Which area of your health is weaker? Which of those three-legged stools is weaker? Spiritual, physical, mental? Which of those verses do you need to go home and put on your bathroom mirror? What is God asking you to surrender? Do you want to be well? Choose first to give yourself to the God who made you. If you have not yet surrendered your life to Christ, believe me, it will change everything. What are you waiting for? Ladies and men, we do have to care for ourselves, physical, spiritual, and mental. Are you engaged with God's word? That's our sustenance. That's our life. His mercies are new every morning. Do you receive that mercy? Remember, he knows everything about you. Everything. And he is for you. Do you have some godly people walking alongside you? We all have a need to be heard, right? But we need to be careful. There's a word that I hear a lot of people say often, and that's the word venting. I need to vent. I sort of think venting is ranting. I don't know. It doesn't usually help us grow. We need to share deeply, but we need to share selectively. Who are your people? Who are your people? I know who my people are. Do you know who your people are? Steve and I are involved with coaching at Central Region Open Bible. We coach pastors and pastors' wives, and we both also have a coach. And I remember meeting with my coach one day, and I was telling her that what I wanted help with was all of the unfiled papers laying around my house. It was getting overwhelming, and I just couldn't. I'm like, I don't know how to get control of this. And in that meeting, I resolved that if I could do one piece of paper at least every day, I could go to bed and feel successful. Because you just feel defeated every day when you get overwhelmed, right? So there were days when I would start with one paper and I would end up getting lots of stuff done. And there were days when it was bedtime and I'd think, man, I haven't done anything. Get up, take one piece of paper and do something with it. I'm victorious. Baby steps sometimes, right? But it's victory. I did that. I did that one thing. And so sometimes that's what it has to be, is a baby step. But we all have a step we can take in some area. I also want to talk a little about the importance of rest. In all three of these areas, rest is important. A little over 20 years ago, I started visiting this favorite beach of mine in Florida. Those of you who know me probably know that's my happy place. But I had just, a little over 20 years ago, I'd come out of some really painful years in my life. I was very broke. I didn't have anything. I was rebuilding my life. And my financial advisor, who helped me change my whole life, asked me, what's really important to you? What are your dreams? How long has it been since you guys have, like, dreamed, right? We need that. And I said, if I could just go in February to this beautiful, peaceful place that I love to be, that would just be a dream. And you know what he said? He said, then let's make that a priority and make it happen. And I thought, really? I can do that? And I did. And I've been doing it ever since, and that was about 2001, I think. And then I married Steve in 2013, and I let him come with me. So, you're a lucky man. So, here's the thing. Steve raised four kids. So, I'm telling him about this vacation of rest, and he's asking me, well, a week or 10 days, we're like, what do we do? And I said, nothing. And if any of you know Steve Matthews, doing nothing is not in his wheelhouse at all. But he got hooked the first year because we became where we could understand we need this. We make it a priority for our spiritual, physical, and mental health. And it turns out it's an example to some other people that I didn't really know about. But a few weeks ago, six young moms and wives from the Des Moines area, they decided that they were going to take 5 days and go to Florida. They got a house by the beach. They planned this whole trip. And these are young moms with young kids and husbands. And right up until they left, some of them were really struggling. Oh my goodness, I'm leaving my kids. You know, the mom guilt, the whole thing. But they went, and it was amazing for them. And one of those wives, who I consider a spiritual daughter, texted me this after they got home. Here's what she said. I've been thinking about you a lot this week. Thanks for teaching me the importance of rest. I always thought that it was super selfish to go on vacations without my family, but I kept thinking of how you made it a priority because it's for your good. And then she said, well, I want to be like you when I grow up. We may not always see it, but you know others are coming behind us. They're going to follow our lead, right? Especially our kids. So what are we modeling? Sometimes we slow down and walk alongside others. And sometimes others slow down and walk alongside us. A little over 10 years ago, some of you may remember, a bunch of us here in the church got really into running, and I think we drove a lot of people crazy with all our running talk. But lots of us started to train and run, and my closest friend, Amy Sanford, who many of you will remember, her and Dan pastored here, Amy told me not too long ago, you know, when I was learning how to run, I just sort of followed your lead because I didn't really know how to do it. So I followed your lead, which was interesting to me because I'm not a great runner. I'm certainly not a fast one. But then, 10 years ago last month, some of us ran a full marathon down in Kansas. A lot of people came. I don't know what I was thinking because a marathon is 26.2 miles, for those of you who don't know. But I decided I wanted to celebrate. I was 5 years cancer-free that year. And I thought, I'm going to celebrate my health, and I'm going to run a marathon. Anyway, there were two people who were way faster runners than me, way faster. There were two people who decided to run by my side for 26.2 miles. And that was Kurt Veenstra, who was one of the pastors here at the time, and Stacy DeMoss, who I don't see this morning, but I know she's usually here. Those two people were by my side for 26.2 miles and walked me through the finish line. Yeah. Now, they sacrificed what they could have attained. They were fast runners. But do you know how much joy that gave them? I mean, that really gave them a lot of joy. So who's following you? Who are you running alongside? In this season for us, we're choosing to walk alongside step families. That's our call. That's what we're doing. In October of 2018, we heard God's voice. We had been working with step families for a lot of years, and I'm just telling you, we've seen a lot of pain. We've seen a lot of marriages ready for divorce who didn't divorce because they've got some tools. And it just became such a big mission. And when Family Life began to invite us to come on staff, that talk about a step of faith, oh my goodness. But in October of 2018, we felt like God was saying, if not us, then who? If not now, then when? Is there something in your life that God would say that to you about? And so we stepped out. Here we are at this stage of our lives. We're just getting started. You know why? We're healthy. We're well. We became missionaries with Family Life. And like Pastor said, we have a vision to start a movement for future generations. We never saw this coming. Never saw this coming. And here we are. So a few words here about stepmoms, because I have the microphone I get to. I know there are negative connotations of stepmoms, but you know, most of us are really trying. Moms, if your kids have a stepmom in their lives, give her grace. Give your kids permission to enjoy her. And stepmoms, this journey is usually way harder than we ever knew. But we must keep all three of those legs of the footstool strong. And we must know who our people are. I know quite a few stepmoms who vent and rant, and it's not helpful. And sometimes it's very hard for us to bring them back to the tools because they just have, sometimes that, you know, I think physically, you know, girl, you're just hurting yourself here. You're carrying this upset all the time. One of the ladies in we just finished a virtual group last week. And so we had people from all over the country in this virtual group. And there was a biological mom talking about her daughter. She said, my daughter has a stepmom now. And I continue to tell her to have fun when she goes there. You know how it is for kids? Like, I can't go enjoy over here because she's going to be upset. I don't know how kids navigate that, but I know a lot of people that grew up in step families that are still trying to navigate that as adults. But this mom said, my daughter's been coming home and saying, oh, we had so much fun, and you know, and she said, it's killing me. It's so hard. But she's doing it for her daughter. She's not making her daughter have to figure it out. So I just met with someone a few weeks ago that said, I had so much fun with my dad and my stepmom, but when I went back home to my mom, I could never tell that to mom. She was just a kid. It's so hard. And I just want to share one example of a good friend of mine who's been a stepmom for 8 or 9 years now. And I've changed the story, so she's anonymous, but she doesn't even live in Iowa, so I think I'm safe. But her stepdaughter was involved in show choir, very involved in show choir. And this stepmom had a lot to do with the raising of her stepdaughter. She was at every practice, she was at every rehearsal, she was at every, you know, getting the costumes and every performance. Really, really involved. She helped raise the money so they could do this. And when it came time for this stepdaughter to be, she was in her senior year, and when they have the parents come up and be recognized for just the person graduating being a senior, my friend stood back in the shadows so that the biological parents could walk up with that stepdaughter and receive their recognition. That's unselfish. But you know why she did that? It was her gift to her stepdaughter. This young girl didn't have to figure out who's going to be mad at me. Who am I going to disappoint? That would take away her night, right? So that is unselfishness. And it's so nice when families begin to heal. I sent a text this morning to the mother of my stepkids, and I said, Happy Mother's Day. Actually, the last couple of years, I've sent her flowers to say, I love your kids. And she texted me back this morning and she said, thank you for caring for my kids the way you do. Was it that way the first year? No. It changed when we got the tools. It changed when we began to understand. Why do the kids have to talk to dad over here and mom over here? And what are you guys doing for Christmas? Well, mom's having Christmas. Can we work together? Can we just take that off of them? So I know just being a biological mom is, I mean, you have to be so unselfish. Your life is not your own, and I know that. Being a stepmom is also very challenging, and blended families are very challenging. So what would our world look like if we were all spiritually, physically, mentally well? Can we even imagine that kind of world? Our lights would shine. Our legacies would be so strong. We would give the people we love and the world the best of us instead of what's left of us. We would have the abundant life that Jesus talked about in John 10:10, and we can speak life to others following behind us. Maybe there are people in your life that you need to help to the finish line. moms, be who you want your children to become. That's for all of us. A surrendered life takes the weight from our shoulders and gives it to the one who created us. A surrendered life means we live as godly women. As I have seen my husband tell so many young men, there is nothing more beautiful than a godly woman. Not a perfect woman, a godly woman. We can see more in others than they see in themselves, as God sees them. Steve and I preached a sermon a few years ago with that theme. See more in others than they see in themselves. It's amazing when you come out of, for me, when I really got well, it was like coming out of the clouds. It was like coming out of a blur. You know, noticing other people, being interested in other people, being giving with other people, and shining a light for Christ. It's amazing. In our ministry, we get to see lives changed and marriages saved. That's our step of faith, and that's our joy of surrender. That's our surrendered life. What might God ask you to surrender so you can be well? Do you want to be well? Do we not long to hear his voice, to feel his presence? Can we not trust the one who made us, who knows us, who holds the universe in his hands? Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." When we become what God made us to be, then we can fulfill what he planned for us so long ago. But we need to be as well as we can be. What is a step that we can take toward being well in any one of those areas? Is there a step you can take, and can we ask God together to help you take that step, whatever that step is? That step may be putting something on a bathroom mirror. It may be finding your people. It may be rest. Rest is so vitally important. And a lot of us just don't get what we need. There's a word that we like to say a lot in our house, and that word is margin. We do a lot of meetings, we do a lot of things, we're very busy, but we always allow margin. If I need 2 hours in between meetings, because that's when we take our walk, we do power walking. I don't run anymore, but we seriously power walk, and I got to do my trail in Cedar Rapids yesterday. It was awesome. But we allow time for it. We make time for it. It's our resolve to be well. Now, I know it's easier for us. We don't have little kids, and I know that it's hard. I've actually coached several pastors' wives who have struggled with the, you know, okay, well, let's shrink it down, and let's, like, what's one step you can take? You know, I remember one lady that said she really wanted to do some working out, and she just couldn't figure it out. And she said, if I get up a half hour earlier, 3 days a week, I can do blah. And so we just stayed in touch while she found the rhythm to do that. So whatever it is, and those of you like me who have been through a few more seasons, you can testify to what I'm saying. Don't wish your life away. Don't wish your life away. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You probably already know whatever it is God's asking you to surrender. We all have that, whatever that thing is. You know what it means to be well? It means freedom. Freedom and joy. What kind of a legacy do we want to leave? Like Pastor said, I do a lot of funerals. I get calls from the families who want a, quote, non-religious funeral. They don't go to church. They don't have a pastor. They need someone to do a funeral. So I have to get to know the person through the family because I'd never met this person. And so I hear so many family stories, and I see so many things, and I think, this is just heartbreaking. How did you get here? And it helps me often to remember, I want to be well in every way. So one thing that I started doing, I'm going to just share it, Steve. I don't know if I should, but he does not know what I'm going to say right now. When I started doing funerals, when I started doing all these funerals, my husband and I have an agreement. If one of us is going to be, you know, with somebody from the opposite sex or alone, well, we try not to be, but you know, we let each other know. And so I started this thing. Usually when I ride in the coach, I ride in the coach with the funeral director and the casket behind me in the car. And so there was a day when the funeral director was busy doing stuff and I was in the car and the casket was behind me, and I sent my husband a selfie and I said, "This is John." So bad. So I was alone with someone and I wanted him to know. Oh my goodness. I'll stop with that one, I promise. I did hear a funny story yesterday about a funeral, long funeral procession, where a few cars into the procession, they were out on a highway, and a few cars in, somebody decided they weren't going to go to the gravesite, so they turned around, and a whole long procession followed them. That was one of the funnier ones I've heard, but anyway. So what kind of legacy do we want to leave? Here's a promise from Isaiah 54:10. "For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you." I want to just pray for you today. I've asked Brent and the worship team to play a specific song that just resonated with me this week for whatever reason. But I'm going to pray. I just want to say that that covenant of blessing, that's our legacy. That's our legacy. John, thank you for your prophetic word all those years ago that you probably don't remember, but there he is right there. I also have an old roomie of mine right there, Janelle Gentz. We went on a mission trip to El Salvador together. I'll say this while these guys are setting up. And we were roommates. She was in the top bunk, I was in the bottom bunk. And I had back then it was a BlackBerry phone. Wow, that's a long time ago. But for some reason, the alarm on my phone went off at like 4 a.m. I don't know, I guess I had it set. And I couldn't find it. It just took me a while to get to the phone. And all I could hear from the top bunk was, "Make it stop! Make it stop!" So whenever we see each other, we say, "Make it stop!" And we both laugh. Anyway, and that's another part of our legacy. Can we laugh? Can we have fun in the Lord? Can we just have that joy? But there are steps we need to take, right, to be well. So God, I thank you for every person here. Thank you for every person online that's listening to my voice, God. I pray for anyone here who is struggling with one of these areas, whatever it may be. Maybe they need a physical healing. Maybe they need a mental healing. I pray their mind would work for them and not against them. I pray, Lord, for physical, mental, and spiritual wellness. God, that's what you want for us. As we read in the scriptures, you made us. You created us to be that. So I just pray. I just pronounce a blessing right now over every person here, God. I pray that each of you receive this. Receive this blessing. Receive this word of how God loves you and knows you so well. And he knows your path to victory. He knows already. Hear his voice. Listen. Listen for his voice. In the name of Jesus, I pray. This song resonated with me this week. It says, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song will ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love. hear those words today. And thank you so much for being with me and letting me be here.